Bless the name of the Lord. The crowds testing the roads for the vehicles to go back. Tauranga up the coast and a few other places, so just us and the Lord. Shall we commence by singing 337, How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him. Shall we stand as we sing? Tim, would you like to open in prayer for us?
So we just bow our heads. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, knowing, Lord, we're just mere men, Lord, but we come through your through your precious blood, Lord. Lord, standing in your righteousness alone, Lord, and just come before you straight into your presence, Lord, and just request, Lord, that you would be with us here, Lord, which you know, we know you will be, Lord, and we just welcome you, Lord, and open our hearts and our minds, Lord, what you would have for us this afternoon, Lord, that you would speak, Lord, that we might live, Lord, and in the light that you would shine upon us, Lord, and we just pray for those here, Lord, and those that are traveling, Lord, for safe mercies, Lord, and for those that might be listening in as well, Lord, we just pray a blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. I just had a bit of a thought. You can do many things in this life, you know. You can, like, if you buy a new car or go on holiday, it might satisfy you for a little bit, but there's nothing like coming into the presence of the Lord and basking in the presence of the Almighty. What it does for your soul, nothing else will satisfy that. So that's why we come. Lord bless you.
Amen, Tim. To know you get uplifted by the Lord, it's really, really good. Just while they're checking the musicians, we're not having an item this afternoon, but I thought it might be an opportunity if someone has a testimony that I might like to share, that we can do that. Is there any right here now that has a testimony they'd like to share? You may be seated at the moment. Thank you, Brother Paul.
I truly thank my dear Lord for his healing power. I have had a condition in my life recently, in my body, I should say, that has not been, I knew it wasn't right. And a few years ago, I had an operation for cancer, and I knew this, what I had, could be bad. So I had prayer, and I had a peace that came over me. But then I went to my own doctor. I said, I'll get it checked out myself. And he said, well, I'll send you to the hospital and have get it checked out properly. And I waited 5 weeks before I got an appointment, and I went last Thursday, and I had x-rays, and I went in there, and I said, look, I believe there's nothing wrong. I'm just claiming. I said, my Lord, I spoke it out. And then she said, oh, well, get dressed and go down to an ultrasound. So I had to go down and have an ultrasound. So I had this ultrasound, and they went all over me, and I thought, well, I'm trusting God. I said, I'm trusting God. And anyway, so when she'd finished, it was quite a long while, and when she finished, she said, no, it's all clear. So she said, but I'll get the doctor to come and have a look and speak to me. So the doctor came in and spoke to me, and she said, it's all clear. But she said, do this, do that, and the other thing. But what I'm saying is, I thank God it could have been cancer. Well, I mean, I know I've had cancer. And that what I'm talking about was that way on. And I thank God that he cleared me of that. I do love him with all my heart. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
And it's good to make it apparent so other people can know that the Lord does listen to what we have before him. And he understands and is the healer. Do we have any others signified by a raised hand? No, okay. Well, let's sing number 347, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord. Thank you. Amen. Nothing like just you and me, Lord. It's very, very good to know that the Almighty God is prepared to stop and listen to you. Let's sing 79. We live because of you, Lord. We live because of you. We live. We'll have one more chorus, then Brother Brian might like to come forward and just talk to us. I know the Lord will make a way for me, number 17.
Praise the Lord. God bless you once again. We're glad to be gathered here this afternoon. I know quite a few have gone, but we look forward to the Lord's presence and God blessing His word. And while I remember it, I just appreciate Brother Howard inviting me to come and appreciate you receiving the ministry here. And I really appreciate the fact that we've been able to come and share, and I trust some have been blessed, which if people are blessed, then I'm blessed. We only want to come to be a blessing and to be a help along the road of life, and to strengthen people's faith and encourage them in the Lord. So we're going to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 84. Psalm 84. We'll just read two verses there. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God. There's not a verse in the Bible that doesn't have some meaning, Lord, and some message for us. And so we pray this afternoon that you'd give us a little encouragement from the word of God. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that your presence would be very real to us and that you'd minister to us this afternoon. Lord, we look to you. We love you. We're inadequate of ourselves, but we know that, Lord, in your strength we can do all things. And so, Lord, we commit this service to you, both the speaker and the hearer. And we pray you bless the thoughts that we share. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will be pleased to be identified with what's being said and will bless it to the hearts of his children. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for God's glory. Amen. I'd like to speak to you this afternoon about verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca. And so this valley of Baca, it's actually in the Hebrew, it's a valley of weeping. So that word Baca, it speaks about a valley of weeping. An arid experience, a weariness to man. And it really does identify many aspects of the Christian pilgrimage. We're not always on the mountaintop. Things aren't always going well, seemingly from the outside. Of course, they're always well in the Lord. But you know, when you get under that cloud, it doesn't look well. And you don't feel well. But we know the Lord is with us anyway. But this valley of Baca is a valley of weeping, an arid experience, a weariness to man. And there's one thing that we learn about life is that as we progress, whether we're Christians or whether we're somebody from the world, the good thing about a Christian is we have hope that there's something better to come. About those in the world, it can be a real revelation when people get older and they realise that all their dreams were false and life didn't deliver what they expected. And they face futility and vanity and emptiness and sorrow. And life is full of sorrow. If there were no graveyards, we'd take away a lot of it. But there's graveyards. There's people that have come that we've known that are gone. There's loved ones that have gone. There's friends that have gone. And life ends up in the graveyard in the natural sense. We all end up there. If the Lord would tarry. So there's a certain futility and vanity when we look at it in the natural sense. Even when we read the book of Ecclesiastes, we read about Solomon is speaking from a human standpoint, not from both human and from a God standpoint, but very much he talks about experiencing so many things in life and that he had the money to do it. A lot of people don't have the money to do it, so there's always this dream out there somewhere that things could be a whole lot better if we had money. But Solomon had the money. Solomon was able to build huge estates where he had irrigation, where he had beautiful orchards, flower beds, lawns, extensive panoramic gardens, beauty like we couldn't imagine. And when he built the house of the Lord, it took 7 years. When he built his own house, it took 13 years. So there's a 13-year project to build his own home. entertainment. He had singers, the best talent in the land, to perform for him every night. Players on musical instruments, talent, people that were able to play, people that were able to entertain him. And he tried everything. He tried everything you could think. He could eat and drink anything he wanted. He tried mirth. He experimented in all of the things of life. He had many wives. He was the richest king in Israel. And he beheld mankind. He said that virtually he said everything. I ought to read it to you. I think it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Just let me, I can't quote it exactly, but let me read it to you. It's one of my favourite books, actually, because it's just so true. And he talked about, I commune with mine own heart, in chapter 1, verse 16, saying, lo, I am come to this great estate, and have got more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And he said in chapter 2, verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labour, and this was my portion of all my labour. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labour that I had laboured to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there is no profit under the sun. And all the way through, you see Solomon's disillusionment. You see, he wasn't a stupid man; he was a wise man. And he was truly perceiving what was happening in the world. And he was perceiving what was happening in life and what was happening to mankind. And he talked about it impossible to even be able to number the oppressions that are done under the sun, or the pain and the suffering. And so just to say that this valley of Baca, this valley of weeping, is a valley that we all enter into. Whether we're a Christian or whether we're not a Christian. For the believer, and I want to speak of it in light of us being Christian in relation to this valley of weeping. As I said, it's an arid experience, it's weariness. Forgive me for reading poetry, but there is a Longfellow wrote a poem called The Rainy Day. And it really catches the sentiment, I believe. He said, the day is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. The vine still clings to the mouldering wall, but at every gust the dead leaves fall. And the day is dark and dreary. My life is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. My thoughts still cling to the mouldering past, but the hopes of youth fall thick in the blast, and the days are dark and dreary. Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds is the sun still shining. The fate is the common fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary. Everybody has periods of rain. Everybody has periods of sadness. Everybody has to go down through this valley of Baca. But it's how you get through it is the important thing. And I want to just touch on those few points this afternoon. Hopefully we won't be too long. You know, the scripture says that the whole of creation groaneth waiting for the deliverance. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 20 and 21, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In the first creation of God, there is decay. There is sorrow. there is death. Even the Bible says that the heavens will be folded up. They wax old as doth a garment, and they'll be folded up one day. And so God has subjected the creature to vanity, in other words, to an emptiness or a futility, speaking from in a natural point. And many times as Christians we feel the same thing. Let's not fool ourselves. He said, but it's not willingly that he would have man in that condition, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So decay, futility, is part of life. It's part of the life we live. Everything is changing. The people that were here this morning, not all of them are here today. Friends go. Everything is changing in life. Family grow up and leave home and have their own lives. And you're left by yourself at home. Everything's always changing. Fellowship's changing. The years go. We have good meetings and then the time passes. And I think, you know, I was thinking before, there was an old brother in our church, Pentecostal brother, really loved the Lord, and he'd always try to capture the spirit. He said that the revival's over. He said the big tent's still up and the chairs are there and the wind blows through and all the leaflets that invited the people are blowing away in the wind. And sometimes that's just the way it is. Everything is changing. All the big tents have been brought down. Those days of glorious revival and gospel preaching and mighty deliverance and a wonderful move of God, those days are gone. And I'm a bit like Longfellow. Not that I was really a part of that, but I sometimes, as he said in that poem there, my thoughts still cling to the mouldering past. But the leaves fall off in the blast of the wind, and all our memories and everything passes away. And that's because God has subject us to that, so that he can also subject us to a hope that there is something better than this, that this isn't what it is for the Christian. This is never going to last forever, but it's going to change. And so the creature is subjected to the same to hope. It's God's way of getting you and I to a point of appreciation. And he has to put us through the valley of Baca. We have to go down into a valley of disappointment. Sometimes we have to go down into dry times. Sometimes we have to go down into sorrow. Sometimes we have to go down into disappointment, even disillusionment. Sometimes we have to go down into discouragement. Sometimes the tears have to flow. And oh, if we could bottle up all the tears that have flowed, somebody said that if you bottled up, once they tried to do a calculation, if you bottled up all the tears that had ever been shed, that it would be a mighty river that would run right across the United States. It's because God has subject the creature to vanity and to futility, but at the same time, he's also given us a hope of a glorious deliverance, and the creature itself, including all the creation, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. So it's a valley of weeping. In the New Living Translation, it said, happy are those who are strong in the Lord, who set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs where pools of blessing collect after the rain. In other words, on the way to Jerusalem, and we're on our way to New Jerusalem, we're going to have to go through a valley. And that valley of Baca, every one of us have to go through. And it's a real test for a believer. It's a real test for a Christian. But everybody, and so weeping is part of this pilgrimage on the way to the New Jerusalem, but we know where we're going. We know where we're going, and we know the hope that we have in the Lord. And it is the only thing that sustains us today, that we have a hope in Christ, and that we have a New Jerusalem, and that we have an eternity where meetings never close, where gatherings are never ended, where there's separation no more, and where there's no more death or sorrowing or weeping anymore. So my second point I want to make is everybody has their own valley. God has determined and designed for us, each one of us, a pilgrimage that is unique to ourselves. You may not go through what I go through. I may not go through what you go through. But there's no doubt about it, you're going to go down through that valley. Every one of us have to do it. You may become disillusioned with the church. You may become disillusioned with lots of things. But we have to go through that valley. And our pilgrimage has many phases. But as we get older and as we look back, we realise the futility of life and the brevity of life, the shortness of life, and there's nothing we can hold on to. It's all slipping away and it's all changing. So many times we may question this journey, we may question going through this valley, what we have to go through. You know, that early church, brother, you became part of that early church, the original church, the blueprint. When you became part of that, you entered straight into tribulation, persecution and trouble. And you never had time to stop and think about it. People were being hailed into jail. People were being martyred and killed. People were being thrown into the lion's den. People were being were made sport of in the Roman arena. People had to live underground in caves to hide from the persecution because Christians were under a tremendous persecution. They had their valley. We have our valley. Our valleys are different. Our valley's probably more a psychological thing. More, we have, but Satan plays with our minds, plays with our emotions, plays with our thoughts, creates issues that aren't really issues, and plays with the psychology. And so today, when we look at the world today, depression is on the increase. It's everywhere. I had a little touch of that myself one day, and it was an awful thing. And the only thing that brought me out of it was praising the Lord. That's the only thing that I could do is praise the Lord. That devil came along, told me every negative thing you could possibly think of. And I went down into a ditch. I'd never been that low before, but I thank the Lord that he brought me out. And I believe we all have our valleys. We all have our disappointments. You know, I'd spent a lot of time and made the garden really nice and everything else. And it was a Father's Day, and some of the family had been around, but they all left early, and I was left alone in the house. And it was just like a poison arrow of Satan struck me. Here I'm sitting alone and looking out over the garden. I said, what's the use of that? What's the point in having a nice garden? Why? Why have it? I mean, there's only me here. There's nobody else appreciating it. Silly thoughts like that. And then Satan came along and said, well, your children aren't saved. Some of them are, but your children aren't saved. And then he started to give every negative thought. Your life has never been successful. But actually, it had been in one sense. But, you know, it convinced me and got me, and it was all happening in my mind. And it was all troubling me. And I went really down low, really deep. But, you know, the Lord really gave me an encouragement from the Psalms about praising the Lord. And I tried to pray and I couldn't get over it. I tried to walk the dogs. I couldn't get over it. I tried everything I could. And then I took this attitude that I'm going to take everything that negativity has said to me, and I'm going to confess the exact opposite, because Satan's a liar. Yeah. So if he told me about some of my children that aren't saved, then I'm just going to praise God that they're going to be saved, because he's a liar. He lied to me about that. He lies about everything. And life isn't futile. We do have a hope. And we have a glorious hope. We have a future in Christ. And I'm not going to let the valley of Baca destroy me. You can let your valley of Baca destroy you, but I'm not going to let that valley destroy me. And so you know, God sometimes takes us to an extremity, but he only crushes us to bring out the perfume of the rose. He only puts the pressure on that somebody may be blessed. You know, God's got something. You know, God doesn't put us in a valley to be a curse or to destroy us, but to be a blessing. to be a blessing. God's always got something that keeps us down. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. He said, blessed be God. It's a wonderful thing when we can say that. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Praise the Lord. How is described here? The God of all comfort. In other words, he's so full of comfort that God is able to comfort and strengthen his people no matter what they're going through. He's the God of all comfort. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Father of mercies. He's the author of mercies, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Just remember, if God puts you into this valley, or if he puts you into a trial, or you come under a pressure, he's doing that so that you can come out the other side and you're able to be a blessing to somebody else. That he'll turn the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, into a valley of blessing. And leave the pools of water, which are a valley of blessing. The other thing that's really comforting is that Psalm says that we're only passing through. We don't stay there. As the psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Who passing through, it's just a phase on our pilgrimage. It isn't going to last. Lately I've become very discouraged even by the attendance in the fellowship, discouraged by the way it seems like Satan's played havoc with people's lives. It's made me sad. It's made me disappointed. And I'm sometimes struggling to get over that. But let's turn all of that into a blessing. Let's turn it all into pools of water. Let's leave a blessing for somebody else. Let's have some comfort that we've received from God that we can give to somebody else, that we can share with others. And now some of you may be traveling smoothly through life. I'm not sure. I can only speak from my own experience. And so we want to make it a place of blessing. But the other thing that's comforting is we're just passing through. We're not camped in this valley forever. Things aren't going to be like they are today forever. Things are going to change. Tomorrow will bring changes. The world is ready for a change. Tomorrow will bring the Lord Jesus Christ, figuratively speaking. Tomorrow is going to bring great blessings to this earth. We will not even remember this valley anymore. We will not remember the discouragements. It'll all be over. It's only a phase in our pilgrimage. It's something that God is putting us through the winepress. He's squeezing us out. And I pray God, it's like Brother Smith Wigglesworth said, when the devil presses him, he prayed that when the devil presses him hard against the wall, that all will come out as Jesus Christ. And that's the way we want it to be, that only good would come out of what we go through in life. We have a glorious destiny. And what's important is the effect that this valley has upon us. May the Lord help us to go from strength to strength, as the scriptures speak, and it talked about us all appearing before God at the end of our journey. And there were those, and when we look at, we've got some wonderful examples of people who turned adversity into wells of blessing for others. You think of the Apostle Paul, and we think what a great man, and we forget about what Paul went through. About the valleys that he went through, the valley of Baca that he went through, the weeping, the sadness that he had. He said, I would that I were accursed for my kindred's sake. You know, Paul went through tremendous sufferings. He was beaten with rod 3 times. You know, these things were death penalties. I think he was beaten with 40 stripes 5 times. You know, his back was torn up. He was shipwrecked a day and a night on the sea. I'm sure if we were bobbing up on a piece of driftwood a day and a night in the ocean, we'd be saying, God, where are you? What's happening? But he was going through his valley of Baca. He was going through tremendous tribulation and tremendous pressures that he may be a vessel that could contain the blessing. And what a blessing he left. What wells of water we have, even in the words that Paul gave us in the scripture. He left something. He came through great troubles, but he left something. He left a blessing. He left a blessing. I think of Hudson Taylor. You know, he had very little success. I can kind of relate to that. He had very little success. He went out into, in fact, when he was going to go to China, he was engaged to a Christian girl, and she said that she would never live in China. So he had to make a decision. Either I go ahead and marry this girl and I never go as a missionary to China. But from when he was a little boy, he was always saying that he was going to go to China. And he eventually went to China. And he labored for years and years and years with seemingly very little success. Very few converts. But after Hudson Taylor had died, after he'd been through his... And he lost some of his precious little children over there to all kinds of exotic diseases and so forth. But after Hudson Taylor had been through his valley of weeping, his valley of Baca, the next generation, there was such a revival that swept. He'd laid the foundation for it. And the blessings of God, you know, that he left a well of water, broken ground, ready for salvation to be manifest. Many we could talk about. John Payton, what a man of God, what a missionary. When they left Scotland to go to the New Hebrides, as it was called in those days, they knew that they'd never come home, possibly never come home. Some missionaries landed on the shore. The cannibals destroyed them immediately, killed them immediately, martyred from the day they stepped onto the shore. He went to a particular island where the natives were very aggressive. He built his cabin, his hut, where he and his wife, his young wife, lived, which was right down in the low wetlands near the swamps, but very close to the ocean in case he had to have a quick getaway. Anyway, his wife had a little child. That little child died of fever. His wife also died. And he's left there on the shores of this hostile island, thousands of miles away from home. You talk about a valley of Baca, but did he give up? No, he went through that valley. It was a long, deep, painful valley. But by the time John Payton had finished some 50 years of missionary work, the last island that he went to, they say that almost every single native on that island was converted. They used to start their services at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning. They go all the way through the day worshiping God. They'd have their food and then they'd go all the way back through. And then it was usually late on a Sunday night when the last songs of praise were offered to God. And the place was turned into a Christian paradise. He created a well of glorious salvation on those islands. And there was a man that went through his valley of Baca. It could have destroyed him. He had every right, he had every reason to say, the next boat, I'm back home to Scotland, I never want to see these islands again. But his burden, instead of doing that, he made that valley of Baca a well of water, springs of water for others that were to come through that valley to drink from. And to me, I drink from the encouragement that I get from lives like this. I drink from it because if they went through it, we can go through it. If they were comforted by it, by God going through that, then I can be comforted by God. If they had their disappointments and overcome them, then we can have our disappointments and overcome them. If it seemed really dry and there's no revival, we can go through that as well. And we can come out the other side to the glory of God, to a wonderful outpouring of the Spirit and a catching away into the kingdom of heaven. I believe that. There's many other things we could say. William Wurmbrand, 14 years in jail, in a communist jail. They would actually put him out in the snow and they would stand him out there virtually naked until he was just before he was dead. And then they'd drag him back in, revive him back for life. Every day for 14 years, they had a communist standing next to him. And what that communist said every day, all day, was, communism is good, Christianity is bad. Communism is good, Christianity is bad. 14 years of it, every day, every day. No contact with his wife, who was also in another prison when the communists came into Romania. 14 years of suffering, scars all over his body. He said, but you never know what communion that he had there in that jail. He turned his valley of Baca into a pool of water. He said he didn't even have bread or he didn't have anything for communion. He took any little bit of bread or a little bit of anything and he administered communion to himself, remembering the death, burial and body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came out of that and he talked about the joys in suffering. And when he came out of that jail, he made a statement. Is it William or Richard Wurmbrand? It's Richard, sorry, I called it William. But he came out and he'd been tortured, he'd been in solitary, hadn't seen his wife. But he turned that valley of Baca into pools of water. In fact, he actually came to Adelaide many, many years ago and I heard him speak. And there was a man that was broken by sufferings, humble. He said when he came out of jail, he said all he wanted to do was get away, be alone, and live a life of quiet contemplation on Jesus Christ. The Lord had become so precious for him. But the Lord commissioned him to go around the world and share his experience that we may be encouraged that pools of water were left behind in his valley so that we can drink from the consolation of our God and from the comforts that our God gives to his children and to his family. Praise the Lord. Think of Fanny Crosby. Dark, blind, living in a blind world. I couldn't think of anything worse. Spent a life penning inspirational poems that they put music to, that we still sing and are blessed today. She's not blind tonight. She's gone through a valley. She's got a sight. She left pools of water behind. She had refreshing springs of water that Christians are still drinking of today. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's so much we could say in that regard. But oh, I pray that as we go through our valley of Baca, as we go through our valley of weeping, that as Christians we would come through it and we would rather than make it something, a bitter experience that embitters others, but that we might make it pools of water that others may drink from our experience and from our victories and from the fact that God has brought us through our valleys. Some make that valley a bitterness. Particularly people of the world become very disillusioned. But as Christians, we don't want to be that way. They turn that valley into weariness, weeping, and lamentation. They become embittered by life's experiences. They're suspicious, skeptical, unable to help others. Full of remorse. Complaints against God and man. They draw others into discouragement and are slow of despond. They become negative and dwell on self-sympathy. We don't want to be that way. Let's not complain about our valleys. Let's not complain about the valley of weeping or the valley of Baca. Let's go through it. And when we go through it, let's leave pools of water behind. Even if it's just something we've said or done to encourage somebody. That we have a life that is positive. and one that we can say is victorious through Jesus Christ. We're on our way to Jerusalem. This will just be a memory soon. Praise God for that. I trust that the Lord's blessed you in some way with just those few thoughts this afternoon. Let's turn that valley of Baca into a spring of water. Blessed be the Lord. What does that chorus spring up in me? Do we have that? Spring up. That's it. Spring up, O well. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just commit the word that's been spoken this afternoon into your hands. We ask, O God, that it may be of some encouragement to some pilgrim along the way, Father, that you would encourage us all, Lord Jesus, to turn our valley of Baca into springs of water, that other weary pilgrims may find refreshment. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time we've had together. We praise you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy. And I just give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And we commit ourselves to you this afternoon, Lord, as we bring this service to a close. We just pray, Lord, your presence go with us, your anointing be upon us, and your blessing upon our lives. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise God. Do you want to...
Praise the Lord. We just thank God for the opportunity to be with us, with you and with him. And I know the Lord is here. Believe that, Brother Jack?
Yeah.
I know you do. I believe he's here with us. Not because we've done anything, but because he's gracious to us. And he wants to take us through those waters of Baca, or through the valley of Baca. And what's been said tonight, this afternoon, is absolutely true. All of you that have had an experience with God knows what it is to go through a trial and a testing. But he brings us through. He promised it. And he's the same yesterday, today and forever. I believe in his power. I've seen his work many times, and he's going to work again in the days to come. So we just thank God for this opportunity and for you folks being here and all those who have come during the meetings. The Lord will bless you and keep you. Look forward to the time singing again sometime as God opens the opportunity. So I wonder if we could sing that song, thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I once was lost, and now I'm
services are available on the internet, and you can get those anytime, listen to them. Even though it's a live broadcast, it's been recorded and within 15 minutes of closing the service. So we thank God for this opportunity. What's that one? Hey? No, never alone. No, never.
Thank you.
You may go through some deep waters of Baca or valleys of Baca, but he'll never leave you. He's faithful, faithful God. I love him. Just want to mention Tuesday night we have prayer service at the back here in the back hall. You're very welcome to join us if you feel to do that. And there's two services next Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday. We have a luncheon again at 1 o'clock, two. Normally for just the hour. So if you feel to come, you're very, very welcome. So let's sing that chorus once more. And Brother Brian, would you like to go to the door to say goodbye? No.
Keep you.